Preston and Steve Fun Size Podcast.
All right, so Steve sent me this story, and he gave me the gist of what it was about. And I'm like, all right, I'm in. I would like to read this. And I was going through it, and what I will do is I'll take the text from some stories, pull it aside, and then I'll go through and I'll highlight the important parts of the story to pass along on the air, because I don't want to make it too long with a bunch of details that aren't necessary. First of all, it's 12 pages long.
Oh, yes. Geez.
12 pages long, and I started going through it, and I realized that I was highlighting every single line on every single page. And I'm like, okay, number one, we can't do this in the Bizarre File, because it would be longer than the Bizarre File by itself, and we need to flesh this out a little bit. This is crazy.
This is a story that is going to make the rounds today. Already is, because people are, there's a movie correlation that a lot of people are referring to.
Here's the plot. Gist, or whatever you want to call it, of this story. An unsuspecting Christian couple adopts an adorable little girl, only to discover she is an adult sociopath masquerading as a child.
Wait, what?
The How movie is that possible? Orphan.
Yeah.
All right. So the movie Orphan, which was twisted.
Freaky. I enjoy it.
Yeah. So this is apparently that scenario is the defense put forward by a mom of three and parenting author shockingly accused of felony neglect for abandoning her adopted daughter. So here's the deal. Kristen Barnett, 45 years old, and her ex-husband, Michael Barnett, 43 years old, are alleged to have dumped Ukrainian-born Natalia Grace at an apartment in Lafayette, Indiana in 2013 before moving to Canada 1 month later and breaking off contact. Now, police say that the girl was left to fend for herself for 3 years despite having a rare form of dwarfism that means she is 3 foot tall and has problems walking. But in an exclusive interview with Daily Mail TV at an undisclosed location, Christine insists there's a major flaw in their case. Natalia was not a 9-year-old, as charging documents claim, but she was actually 22 years old. Barnett claims the true victims are her and her family, who were terrorized for years by the mysterious imposter who threatened to stab them in their sleep, pushed her towards an electric fence, and poured bleach in her coffee. So
wait,
that's
the girl did this to them?
Yeah.
This is what they're alleging.
That's what they're saying. They're saying.
Right.
The allegations,
and this is very linear to the movie.
By the allegations by the police are that they left this underage girl to fend for herself. But the mom is saying that, no, this girl, number one, was 22 years old.
What?
And that she threatened us. So.
And this is real?
Well, this is what they're saying. There's two sides to this story. So,
yes.
Yeah, but it's real. It's legit.
Okay.
So she said she would make statements and draw pictures saying that she wanted to kill family members.
You know the way kids do.
She'd roll them up in a blanket and put them in the backyard. She was standing over people in the middle of the night. You couldn't go to sleep. We had to hide all the sharp objects. She said, I saw her putting chemicals, bleach, Windex, something like that in my coffee. And I asked her, what are you going to do or what are you doing? And she said, I'm trying to poison you.
Oh, my God.
And she said, the media is painting me to be a child abuser, but there is no child here. She said, Natalia was a woman. She had periods. She had adult teeth. She never grew a single inch, which would happen even with a child with dwarfism. The doctors all confirmed that she was suffering a severe psychological illness only diagnosed in adults. This is according to the mom. She said she was jumping out of moving cars. She was smearing blood on mirrors. She was doing things you could never imagine a little child doing. Before criminal charges were leveled at them on September 11th, Barnett and ex-husband Michael were hailed as exemplary parents who raised a child genius named Jake Barnett. He was diagnosed with autism at the age of 2. Jake, nonetheless, had his first academic paper published at 12 and by 15 was studying at a prestigious physics institute.
Wow.
His story was featured in a 2012 episode of CBS's 60 Minutes, but it was the shy girl who sat at his left at the family dinner table that would one day prompt altogether more sinister headlines.
So they're on 60 Minutes, but yeah. Not about her.
Not about her.
A brother who's a genius.
Yeah, who has autism and who's a genius. So the Barnetts they were experienced foster parents who ran a children's daycare from their Westfield, Indiana home. They collected this curly-haired youngster from Florida in May of 2010. Natalia's adoption was completed in November of that year. Christine Barnett insisted that she treated the new addition to her family as if she were her biological child. She had no hesitation in accepting Natalia, despite learning that she had a bone growth disorder with this really, really long, complex name.
Right.
Which causes short stature, skeletal abnormalities, and problems with vision. She said, I felt that if I had the ability to help another person in the world, then I wanted to do it. So given just 24 hours to complete an emergency adoption, the couple raced to an adoption center in Florida to sign the paperwork and meet their six-year-old daughter. They gleaned precious few details of her background. Natalia had been in the U.S. for 2 years, had a Ukrainian birth certificate reading September 4th, 2003, and needed a home immediately because her previous adoptive parents suddenly gave her up for undisclosed reasons. Natalia was extremely nervous, she said. You could see that she was going to need a lot of support and care. We did notice immediately in the parking lot that she couldn't walk. There was nothing in the paperwork stating that, though. Over the next few days, the couple showered Natalia with attention, taking her to Disney World, enjoying ice cream, treats, and playful pillow fights with her three brothers to slowly bring her out of her shell. When they took her to the beach for the first time, she did something that would leave the couple speechless. She said the boys rushed into the water, and Natalia wanted to be carried into the ocean. Michael and myself were physically exhausted, so we asked her to just wait a few minutes. With that, she got up and ran into the ocean. And I remember looking at Mike, she said, thinking, what's going on? I mean, she couldn't walk a second ago, and now she just got up and ran.
Oh. Yeah.
Barnett grew more alarmed when she saw the little girl naked for the first time. She said, I was giving her a bath, and I noticed she had full pubic hair. I was so shocked. I had just been told that she was a six-year-old, and it was very apparent that she wasn't, she added. There were further clues to an apparent deception. Natalia shunned dolls and toys, sought the company of teenage girls, and appeared to use sophisticated vocabulary way beyond someone her age. She didn't have any trace of a foreign accent, and when the family asked a Ukrainian friend to speak in their native language, Natalia couldn't understand or describe her homeland. She said, at the time I ran a little school, and I remember she said to me, these children are exhausting. I don't know how you do it. And I was like, you're supposed to be a child yourself. It was like something another mom would say as she dropped her kids off. She said, it's very hard to decipher how old she is because she has such a unique look. But at that time, I started to believe that she was probably a teenager. She said, but I don't have any regrets. This was what I wanted to do. I felt overwhelming love for her. She said, she soon began finding bloody clothing in the trash.
What?
Suggesting that Natalia was having her period and trying to conceal the evidence. She sought out the help of her family physician who ordered bone density tests to establish Natalia's age. When the results suggested the little girl was indeed at least 14 or older, Barnett says she switched to the princess outfits and pink dresses for more appropriate clothes. But as questions swirled around her age and true identity, Natalia's behavior began to deteriorate. Barnett recalls watching aghast on a baby monitor as Natalia attacked a baby boy when she was out of the room. When they attended therapy together, Natalia scoffed at the, quote, childish bonding exercises. And by 2011, Barnett says that Natalia was smearing bodily fluids on walls, making death threats, and hearing voices as her mental health broke down.
So I've never seen the movie The Orphan, but is that what this is, essentially?
This is pretty much spot on. Wow. So the family brings this in. They have one daughter who's deaf, and they bring the girl in. I think she meets Romanian.
You're talking about in the movie?
The orphan, right. Romanian or from the Ukraine, or Ukraine. And so later on, it becomes, and these things like this, for example, there's all sorts of drawings that are occurring on the wall that they can only see with like a black light.
Yep.
And all this crazy stuff going on. This is right linear to this, which raises a whole bunch of questions, but continue.
So Natalia would spend the next year or so being treated for various psychiatric disorders, spending days to weeks at a time at the St. Vincent Indianapolis Stress Center. When Barnett claims that she tried to drag her onto an electric fence during a 2012 birthday outing, Natalia was placed long-term at a state-run psychiatric unit because she allegedly posed a risk to others. It was during treatment that Barnett insisted Natalia confessed to being far older than she appeared. She presented the Daily Mail with a trove of paperwork that appears to confirm her version of the events and that healthcare professionals shared her grave concerns. One clinical therapist in January 2012 said Natalia claimed to them that she was 18. Then, at Laurie Center Hospital in Indianapolis in June 2012, staff said that she described how she had tried to kill family members and had no remorse about it, with Natalia going as far as describing it as fun to the staff.
I wonder if she knows how old she is.
Yeah, I don't know. Most revealing of all is perhaps a letter from Barnett's primary care physician, Andrew McLaren, dated March 2012, in which he says Natalia's 2003 birth date was clearly inaccurate and that Natalia had made a career out of pretending to be a young child. He said Natalia fooled him, her parents, and other physicians. It was also in 2012 that police first began asking questions, although correspondence reviewed by the Daily Mail suggests that they were trying to establish whether an immigration fraud took place before the Barnetts had any involvement with Natalia. A guy named Detective Scott Klaus of the Westfield City Police Department told them via email that he had referred the case to the FBI and ICE because he suspected there was false age reporting prior to her leaving Ukraine. Klaus died of cancer 4 years ago. But Captain James Lilly, a former colleague, said that while he vaguely remembered the case, he did not think the FBI pursued it any further. So in June of 2012, the Barnett successfully applied to Superior Court in Indianapolis, Indiana, to have Natalia's age corrected so she could receive the appropriate psychiatric treatment for an adult. This goes on and on,
man. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
In documents, Judge Gerald Zori accepted the couple's allegations were true and revised Natalia's date of birth to September 4th, 1989.
Oh. So at this moment, the judge, by what we're hearing, and this is just the information from this story, had confirmed she was much older than originally indicated.
And we confirmed she was 22. At this stage, Barnett points out Natalia was considered an adult by the state of Indiana and was legally responsible for herself. Even so, Barnett says that she and her husband rented an apartment for Natalia when she was discharged from secure psychiatric care in August of that year, 2012, and placed under the supervision of a state health care provider. They further helped her get a social security number, apply for benefits, food stamps, and an ID. When Natalia caused problems at the property and was evicted, they stepped in again to prevent her from being homeless, renting a new apartment for her in Lafayette. So apparently they've rented a few places for her, even though they know she's an adult.
You read the article more thoroughly than did I, Preston, but does it appear that there is a paper trail that verifies all this?
Well, that's what the Daily Mail looked at it and said that there appears to be paperwork that confirms this.
Yes. Right.
So Barnett said she was communicating daily with Natalia and even came up with a plan for Natalia to enroll in college to get her high school diploma and study cosmology.
Dear God.
Cosmetology. Sorry.
So she wanted to go into space.
No, cosmetology. Okay. Sorry. She said, I said, I've been taking care of you here as an adult. I will do one more year of financial aid, the exact same thing I'm doing for all my children. I co-signed the lease and paid for the rent up front for a year. I did everything that you would do when you send your child off to college. I helped her with groceries and bought furniture at Target for her. I was optimistic. She had a concrete plan for her life. She had food stamps. She was Social Security income. For the rest of her things, she had demonstrated that she was able to live. Well, by 2013, Barnett had published a memoir about her son, Jacob, the one who has autism.
Who is a genius.
He's now 21. It's called The Spark, A Mother's Story of Nurturing Genius and Autism. Excuse me. That same year, they moved to Canada so Jacob could attend the Perimeter Institute for Theoretical Physics, leaving Natalia behind at her rented apartment. By then, however, Barnett says that Natalia had vanished and stopped returning her calls. Barnett says that she feared Natalia had stopped taking her medication and was probably posing as a child again for another unsuspecting family, it again. And an orphan, this gal had done it a couple of times.
Yes,
right?
She had a long history of doing it.
Yeah. I found a little pink dress in her closet and a little pink bicycle parked beside the house, she said. I would have forced her back into treatment, but I couldn't do that any longer because she was an adult. She discontinued communication with me. What I did get was a letter in the mail stating that she had changed Michael from the beneficiary of her Social Security income to someone else. So the last time we spoke on the phone, she told me she was cooking spaghetti for her new family.
Yeah, boy.
She said, I did not abandon anyone. I went to Canada to further my son's education. These accusations are absolutely devastating. So some police, the sheriff's department in Tippecanoe.
Yes.
County.
Good old Tippecanoe.
Presents a very different version of events. Now, a September 11th affidavit of probable cause states that an expert at the Peyton Manning Children's Hospital named Dr. Riggs carried out bone density tests on Natalia in June 2010, and it concluded she was aged about 8 years old. A further skeletal
test. How could that be?
Carried out 2 years later in the same facility concludes she was around 11 years old. The affidavit reveals that it was Natalia herself who told police in 2014 that she had been left alone when her adoptive parents moved to Canada, with cops concluding that she was a reliable and credible witness. It does not explain, however, why detectives waited 5 years to put the allegations to Michael Barnett, who divorced Christine in 2014, remarried, and has settled back to Indiana. So they say it's a different story, but she says that this is not it at all, and she's been cooperative, the mom,
yeah,
the whole time.
This is wild.
This is insane.
Is there a resolution?
It says the document says that when an officer spoke with Michael on September 5th, he admitted that he knew all along that Natalia was a minor child when she was allegedly abandoned. Yeah, so the husband says she was a minor. Furthermore, the affidavit adds Michael Barnett admitted Christine Barnett told Natalia to tell others Natalia looks young but was actually 22. However, his attorney denied that his client made any such admission of guilt. So the attorney is saying that's not true. The police are saying one thing. They and their attorneys are saying another thing.
They had a judge, right, sign off on this, and that's why I brought that up when you were mentioning it initially. There was enough to convince a judge that she was older than she said she was.
It says here, by the way, that the police had visited him, and he spoke to them without an attorney, and they took statements out of context, and that's why they believe that she was underage.
I'm trying to figure out the angle on this. Were the parents... Was this a con for the parents as well? Were they making money off of this somehow?
It doesn't appear at all.
It would have been out money.
Right. So in other words, yeah. And if there is a paper trail, that's why I asked. I read about half of the story just on that alone. I said, well, let me get this to Preston. There seems to be this paper trail of purchased items and goods and all the stuff that they say and apartments and all that stuff that it looks like they were doing all this. We have a clip from the movie Orphan, if you want to play that quickly, where the doctor reveals that this girl in the movie Orphan is much older than she is.
The little girl in the picture is not really a little girl. She's a grown woman.
What? What are you talking about? The picture that I sent you is of our adopted daughter, and she's 9 years old.
No, she's not. She has a rare hormone disorder. It's called hypopituitarism. It causes proportional dwarfism. She only looks like a child. According to our records, Lena Klammer was born in 1976. She's 33 years old.
Oh, it's a messed up movie, man.
It is.
Wow. And it came out in 2009, and some people are texting in saying that a lot of this happened, this story that you're reading, Preston, in 2010, 2011, 2012.
So yeah, right after that.
I'm wondering if they were inspired by this.
Was the kid inspired or were the parents? Oh, but it is a morass of freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Especially since, so the mother's been very cooperative.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it seems like the father hasn't been completely honest the whole time.
Or
because he knew.
No. The police are saying that and then his lawyer saying, no, they came over and talked to him without a lawyer present, and they took things out of context, that he never admitted that. So, it's one of the strangest stories I've ever read because it's so close to that movie.
It's like it is the movie, basically. And now in the movie, well, I'll let you watch it. It's a good Halloween movie to watch.
It is a really good one. There was more to the story. I didn't even go to the last few pages because it got so damn long. We had to start the show.
Yeah.
But I can get to, because apparently there's another couple involved. Hang on. I threw the last couple of pages of
this. This is where the Kardashians come in.
This is Kim weighs in on the whole thing.
Yeah, that alder.
Yeah, so in fact, she broke the story, Steve.
Now you look like a bear.
She figured. That's the girl?
Yeah, you look like a bear, a big stupid bear with huge lips, big lip bear.
Let me see if I can find this because now I want to know.
Oh, that heart. Heart, little dwarf woman.
I'll deal with it, bear.
I want to find out more about this.
There's got to be some sort of resolution. It's 2019.
The story just hit the paper today. Yeah, you see it, it was like the news services were picking up on it. It was on
the charges just hit against the parents.
Now, they would have to have, there's got to be, again, if there's a legitimate paper trail that shows all of this stuff, all of these efforts on her behalf, you know, there's just too much here. I don't know. So,
all right.
In this case, there seems to be so much specificity to how they were dealing with this girl. I mean, you could create a complex story, but in my mind, do you know what I'm saying? There seems to be too many steps that indicate something there.
Listen to this. So here's more. As for Natalia, neither the Barnetts, their attorneys, nor seemingly anyone else involved in this baffling case appears to know her whereabouts.
Oh, she's gone?
And despite the possibility that she's now 30 years old, Natalia's full court records will remain sealed until the court decides otherwise because adoption cases are treated as confidential. She last saw her adoptive father when... She last saw her adoptive father was when the final chapter in their painful, confusing relationship played out in court in 2016. There, a couple named Antoine and Cynthia Manis, unexpectedly applied to become Natalia's guardians, which meant proving she was a minor and restoring her original birth date. The Barnetts filed an objection claiming that Natalia was an adult. Records,
they were trying to save them.
Yeah, records are not publicly available, but the Daily Mail established that a judge ordered a fresh hearing to establish Natalia's age, with Michael Barnett and a number of experts giving evidence. Natalia was living on her own, and a couple wanted to become her guardians. Thinking she was still a child, the couple tried to overturn the 2012 result, explained Michael's attorney. This is the last paragraph here. This time, the hearing was even more in-depth. Not only did the judge look at medical reports and other documents, but witnesses came before the court to explain why they were certain Natalia had been 22. The judge upheld the original results, and the couple dropped the guardianship petition. So that other couple that wanted to get the guardianship dropped that.
Because he determined she was an adult.
Yeah, the most disturbing thing about this is Michael told me the police investigator who is heading the latest allegations against them was actually present. I don't even know who that is saying that.
One of the Kardashians.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Chief Deputy Prosecutor said, pursuant to Rule Number 3.6 and Rule 3.8, a prosecutor is prohibited from making extrajudicial or out-of-court statements, including public comments, which would have a prejudicial impact on the case, blah, blah, blah.
You could say, I can't wait till they make a movie of this, but they did.
Yeah. With Christine and Michael Barnett both... proclaiming their innocence, it's a question that will likely not go away. Should I have been cooperative the whole time? I've been truthful with people the whole time. I'm being charged by the state of Indiana for crimes against a child when the state of Indiana has determined multiple times Natalia was an adult. And from day one, this was a mission of love. But when you bring a child into your home, you expect them to be a child. To be accused of this is unconscionable to me. It's just horrifying. So she surrendered to authorities last Thursday, was released after posting bond. Her ex-husband, Michael, surrendered as well on the 18th and was released. And he is due to appear at a hearing on today, actually.
And they don't know where she is, where Natalia is.
Yeah.
What the hell? What is happening here?
This is 10 levels of weird.
Yeah.
All the way around. Wow.
Somebody texted in saying that she should do the dwarf versus midget wrestling at
Maggio's. Yeah, Maggio's. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
It's insane.
You know.
What do you say? I bet you. Listen, if this is an elaborate process to get people to watch the movie Orphan. watch that. That'll give you an idea of what was going on, or at least what they say was going on here.
My kids play video games too much. That's the big drama in our house.
Right. Not that they're from the Ukraine or Ukraine and 50 years old.
Wow. That's crazy. And it went on and on and on. And I'm thinking at some point I'm going to stop here and have enough of a story to pass along for you to get the gist of it. But there was way too much and it had to, you had to parse it all out.
So in The Orphan. Either it's Ukraine or the Orphan. She attempts to seduce the father.
Really?
So at this point, she's caused the injury of the mother who's in the hospital. So in the clip we played, the mother is drugged up and gets this call. So the deaf daughter's in her room knowing that the lunatic little girl that they've adopted is now an adult woman. So she takes off. She takes out like a fake teeth thing or like a, that makes her teeth look normal or, and takes off this very tight. So we're watching the scene right now where she's removing everything that shows she's much older.
I've seen the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I've seen parts of the beginning of the movie. But the whole concept of it was so twisted to me that I'm like, yeah. I don't think I want to watch this.
Right.
But this is happening in real life, apparently.
You may want to watch it now.
Yeah, now I want to see the movie. Yeah.
Aren't you guys, I don't know if impressed is the right word, but the long con amazes me sometimes. People that are able to come up with an idea to trick other people out of money or time or whatever and then do it for years and years.
The meticulous nature of these things. And by the way, they always make for incredible movies and stories.
I never did watch that series, and I wanted to, but it was so disturbing, too, of the mother that pretended that her daughter had all the sicknesses, and she ended up killing the mom, and that was just nuts, man. They were both in on it together.
Yeah, so Patricia Arquette won the award for it at the Emmys. That's I want to watch the series, and Hunter King, or whatever her name is, plays the girl, but it's supposed to be incredibly compelling.
Yeah.
Yeah, Nick, did you read that article? I think it came out in the summer about that Harvard law professor who was duped into this relationship with this girl.
I don't think so.
It just levels and levels and levels and like bilked him out of all of his money. Somehow came in and got his house, and she had apparently been doing this to people all over the place.
Yeah,
but here's a guy who was like Harvard educated.
And fell for it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've seen some stories of not only just one person, but like families that will participate in that type of thing, and they'll con people out of they'll get into a relationship with somebody and play it off of it as if it's these are real emotions, and meanwhile they're just bleeding them slowly for things that make sense at the time, and then bang, they turn around and disappear.
We're drawn to things like this, though, and on that level, and then on the other level, the completely sociopathic level, The Bad Seed, which was remade into The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane with Jodie Foster, and the Good Son, right? Wasn't that with the Macaulay?
Yeah,
Culkin?
Macaulay Culkin. Hey, there's a I'll tell a family secret here.
All right.
Within my family,
are you a 6-year-old girl?
I'm not.
You've been lying to us for 21 years.
My name is Darla Elliott.
Within my family, somewhere, and these people that this person has, we've disassociated ourselves completely. I don't even know where this person is, but they're in my family. It's believed that she and another person took on this elderly person and became their caretakers, took advantage of them, lied to them, took their money,
built them for all their money,
and just but the whole time treated, you know, gained their trust to sign over the conservatorship and all that stuff. It's pretty disgusting. And I'm like, I was told this just a couple of years ago, and I'm like, where I even heard maybe they were trying to off her, I was just like, that's crazy. It's just,
we have something like that in our family, too.
Yeah.
It was a widow, and it wasn't, you know, I wouldn't consider him elderly, but...
Were you able to gain her trust, Kathy?
No, his wife died, and this woman swooped in, and she has taken everything from the kids. The mother left all of her things to, obviously, it goes directly to the husband, and then when the husband passes away, it gets divided between the kids. But what this woman has done...
Blocked the family,
has
right?
blocked the family, and has been able to have him redo his will, so now it all goes to her. All of my aunt's money is now going to this new wife and not her kids. And she had specifically, you know, put out that she wanted some of the money to go towards when her youngest was getting married, which is happening now. And this woman has basically wiped her hands and said, nope, you're not getting any of it.
That's kind of what I heard happen, only it was a member of my family doing the dirty part of it.
That's just evil.
Yeah, right?
Yes, on so many levels, where they get power of attorney, they get someone who's semi-lucid or who, you know. Well, look at this. That actually was one of the accusations that was leveled against the wife of Casey Kasem.
Right.
All of this stuff. When someone starts to fall into ill health and their faculties aren't all they could be.
Yeah.
Someone who is naturally a predatory monster.
And charismatic.
Right.
And can turn that
can
on.
Can do that.
And tell you the things you want to hear.
Exactly.
Whew. Well, this is, we're going to find out what happens with this. So this guy is supposed to be in court today, and hopefully there will be an update on that. But I've never heard anything quite like that other than in movies.
I thought it was a movie.
Wow. Okay. God, I need a drink after that.
Get the whole Preston and Steve show or the Bizarre Files podcast at PrestonandSteve.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.